Hello and welcome to What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in Jasper, Georgia. I believe with all my heart that we're quickly approaching the day of the Lord, the time when our Messiah Yeshua is going to blow that trumpet and call us all home. I want to spend the next few weeks looking at the book of John, because I think the Gospel of John has a lot to say to help us be ready for the time when that trumpet does blow. Let's carry on in verse 28. Yeshua said to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself." So He says, then they will understand that what He did through the power of God. He says, "But as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please Him." At this point, some of those in the crowd have a change of heart. Not all, but some. Because it says in verse 30, as He spoke these words, many believed in Him. So there are people in the crowd who are thinking back to Psalm 22 and thinking back to Deuteronomy chapter 18 and the other prophets and going, this must be the one that God said would come. It must be. But what level of belief do they have? Do these people accept Him as Messiah and Savior and have a saving faith? We don't know yet. That's why in verse 31, Yeshua sets forth a test. How do we know whether their belief is true and genuine and deeply held? He says, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." What does he mean, if you abide in my word? What does it mean to abide?
Live or exist in.
To live, to exist in for a moment or continually. Do their lives change? Do they bear out the faith that they claim to have? So let's go back to Psalm 119 and look at several verses in Psalm 119, which is the longest verse in longest chapter in the Bible, if you will, longest chapter. And one whose theme is, if you believe in God, then walk in His word. Psalm 119, let's start out in verse 1. And we're going to look at several portions of Psalm 119. Start in verse 1. Are we there? Y'all know that Psalm 119 is an acrostic psalm, right? And it's got the Hebrew alphabet. Even in our English Bibles, the first letter is Aleph. In verses 1 through 8, all begin with an Aleph. And in verses 9 through 16, are all going to begin with the letter Beit. So it's kind of a neat thing. But in verse 1, it says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way." What is the way? I am the way, Messiah said. So walking in the ways of Messiah and the Lord. "Who walk in the law," the Torah, "of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with the whole heart." What does it mean with the whole heart? Why are they following in His footsteps? Why are they walking in His ways? Why are they keeping His commandments? Because they want to, because they love Him. "They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. You have commanded us to keep Your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all Your commandments." Then let's go to verse 9, so we don't read the whole chapter. Verses 9 to 11. Just an excerpt from Beit, which asks a question. How can a young man cleanse or purify his way? Meaning, how can a young man improve the way he walks before the Lord God? It says, "By taking heed according to Your word. With my whole heart I have sought You. Oh, let me not wander from Your commandments." And then we'll go up to verse 44. In the letter Vav, which they say in here is Wawa. I don't know why they do that, but okay. Verse Verse 44 says, "So shall I keep your Torah continually, forever and ever, and I will walk in liberty, for I seek your precepts." There is a reference in the New Testament to the law of liberty. And a lot of Christians read that and think that is different from the Torah, but it's not. As it says here in Psalm 119, to walk in the Torah is to walk in liberty. For the way of the Lord, his yoke is light. It's man-made rules and regulations where the yoke gets very heavy. And then verse 142. 142, which is in the letter Thade. He says, "Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your Torah is truth." Verse 151. "You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Concerning your testimonies, I have known of old that you have founded them forever." Meaning the Word of God, does it change? No, the Word of God does not change. It was our Messiah Yeshua in Matthew chapter 5 that says, "Until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest piece of a letter would pass away until everything's been fulfilled." That's enough of Psalm 119. But that's the theme of Psalm 119, is that God's commandments, statutes, and judgments are true, and through them we can find peace and liberty. So the test Messiah sets forth in verse 31 to those who say they believe is, if you do, if you believe, then you'll abide in my word. And you'll be my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free from what? It doesn't say. What's the wages of sin?
Death.
How do we avoid that?
Accepting Messiah.
Accepting Messiah. The gift of God is salvation through our Messiah, Yeshua. So what he's trying to say is, if you truly do believe, then you will be set free from the penalties of the law. The penalties of law is death. What we're set free from is not the commandments, statutes, and judgments of God, but rather from the death penalty for having broken them in the past. They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants, and have never been in bondage to anyone. So how can you say you will be made free?" Again, they're thinking physical bondage and physical freedom. He's talking about spiritual death and spiritual life. Go ahead.
Yeah, but go ahead. Haven't they been in bondage to Babylon and all these people? I mean, did they just forget that?
They're talking about they themselves standing there.
Okay, all right.
They've forgotten about their ancestors, perhaps. But they're looking at themselves going, "I'm not in bondage. How can you make me free?" Are they in bondage? Absolutely. They're in bondage to sin and death. Can they be made free? Yes, if they will believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, the only begotten Son of God, they can be made free. Yeshua answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever," does that mean whichever Jews? No, that's the same old whosoever. Jew, Gentile, anybody. "Whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." The scripture tells us that he who you obey, that's the one that you serve. That was the problem back in the Garden of Eden. What did God say? Don't eat from the tree. What did Satan say? Eat from the tree. And which did they listen to? Satan. That was the fall of mankind. They chose, rather than serving the Creator, they chose to serve the creation. And that's what pagan idolatry has always been about, is serving the creation rather than the Creator. But what is sin?
Rebellion against God.
Rebellion against God?
Falling short of his plan.
Failing to keep his ordinances and statutes.
Failing to keep his commandments, statutes, and ordinances. In other words, the Torah. Where do we find that in the scripture? 1 John chapter 3. Let's go up and... I must tell you that in most of my life, in my walk before God, I knew sin was bad. I just didn't know what it was. It's disappointing God. It's falling short of the mark. I knew all those, but what is the standard? 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness or Torahlessness or that which is against the Torah. And sin is Torahlessness, anomia, that which is contrary to the Torah. In other words, God said, thou shalt do the following, and when you don't, that's sin. And God said, thou shalt not do the following. When you do it, that's sin. That's why the Apostle Paul says over and over again, I wouldn't have known what sin was except for the commandment. Because until you know what God said to do or not to do, you don't know that doing it or not doing it would be sinful, right? So what if God had never said to Adam and Eve, you can't eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil? What if he never said that?
Sin.
And they ate from it. Would they have sinned? Would they have fallen? The answer is no. What made it sin? They still did the same thing, but it was when God said, thou shalt not, that Satan rises up in our hearts and says, yeah, but you know what? That'd be kind of fun. Why don't we do that? That looks like really good food. Was it really an apple? Who knows? Who knows? A lot of people say it was probably a fig. All I can tell you is when we get to heaven, we'll watch the videotapes and we'll see what they ate. Till then, it's enough to know that God said, thou shalt not eat it, and they ate it anyway. So, don't really want to do this, but I think I'm going to have to anyway. Give me some examples of things where God said to do or not do, and man says do the opposite.
Abortion?
Abortion is murder. God said, thou now shall not commit murder. And what does man say?
It's okay. Mm-hmm. Go do it.
Yeah, if it's inconvenient to have a baby, just kill the baby. No big deal.
Homosexuality?
Thou shalt not have any other gods before me.
Thou shalt not have any other gods before me? What does that mean?
He's the only God, the true God.
Yeah, but what does it mean before
him,
me?
Not in front of him and to
beside him?
Worship them in his sight.
It's actually in front of him, like Herb just said. It's the word lifne. You Hebrew students, what does lifne mean?
Before,
in front of. And it's from the word face. So in my face, don't put in my face other idols and things that you're worshiping. Don't do that. Don't let me see that. That's an affront. Who said keep the Sabbath?
God.
Who said keep Sunday?
Constantine.
The Pope, not Constantine. It was at the Council of Laodicea, Canon 29. Who said thou shalt not eat the pig?
God.
Who said go have a ham sandwich? McDonald's. Okay. So my point is, a lot of our traditions and doctrines in the church today don't come from God. Where do they come from?
Man.
Come from man. And if they're not from God, then what? Then it's sin. That's exactly right. And that's what he's trying to get across here. Whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And he's talking to the scribes and Pharisees who believe they are sinless and perfect because they're walking in what? The man-made rules and regulations. They've cast aside God's Torah for a set of man-made rules and regulations. They say the commandments, statutes, and judgments total 613. How about the man-made commandments, statutes, and judgments?
Thousands.
Tens of thousands. I've got a copy of the Talmud in there that takes more than a whole bookshelf. That's why the Lord says, my yoke is light, their yoke is heavy. But of course, they don't follow their own rules and regulations. They just try and demand you to. And why do they try and force their rules and regulations on others? Gives them power. Same reason Satan in the garden tempted Eve. What did Satan get out of it? Satan wanted power. He wanted them to be in subjection to him. What has Satan always wanted? That which is God's, that which we owe to him, that which belongs to God. Okay, verse 35. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. He's saying that these scribes and Pharisees are slaves to sin, and they abide in this world for how long? Till they die. And after they die, then next thing they will have is the great white throne judgment to be cast into the lake of fire in the second death. So the slave does not abide in the house forever, but the son abides forever. The son here refers to the believers, those who've come to God by Messiah. We will abide forever. Abide means to live. It's from the verb sit, settle, or reside, right? We will live in God's presence throughout eternity, right? First after the rapture and resurrection in the millennial kingdom with Messiah, then into the new heavens and new earth and the new Jerusalem, we will abide with God forever. So he says, the slave and the child. You've heard my analogy before. Who obeys the father, the slave or the child? The answer is both, but for different motivations. The slave out of fear, the child out of love. What does God want from us? He wants our love. He wants our hearts. He wants our faith. And that, when we come to God by faith in Messiah, is what brings us into the point of eternal life, and the Son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son, which Son?
Yeshua, Son of God.
Yeshua, the Son of God. Is he right here claiming to be the Son of God? Absolutely. For if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Do the scribes and Pharisees here understand that he's referring to himself as being the Son of God? The answer is no. They're looking around going, how could my son set me free? I'm his father. He's in subjection to me. I don't understand. So yeah, they don't understand. And he says, I know that you are Abraham's descendants. Are they Abraham's descendants? They are. They're his physical descendants. Are the physical descendants the descendants of Abraham that God cares about? Not so much. Turn up to the book of Galatians. Who wrote Galatians?
Paul
did. And why did he write Galatians? What was going on? There was a big problem. Big problem. Yes. The Apostle Paul has gone through the area of Galatia and taught salvation by faith. And there were others who were believers, but sadly misinformed. You've heard me talk of the school of Shammai and the school of Hillel. The school of Shammai taught that God can only save Jews. So that if a Gentile wants to be part of the kingdom of God, he must first convert to Judaism before God can save him. And some of the rabbis and the Pharisees from the school of Hillel have gotten saved, and some from the school of Shammai have gotten saved. Paul was from the school of Hillel. These others that have come through Galatia from the school of Shammai. And when they got saved, did they suddenly become Bible geniuses? and know all perfect doctrine? The answer is no. Relying on what they believed growing up as Pharisees in the school of Shammai, they believed that if Gentiles are going to come into the kingdom of God, they must first be converted to Judaism. And then once they're Jews, their faith in Messiah can save them. But God can't save Gentiles. Gentiles have to help God save them by going through circumcision and keeping the law perfectly. And then when they're nice, good Jews, then salvation will benefit them. Is that the gospel? No, it is not. So I believe that these saved Jews out of this school of Shammai honestly believe what they're teaching. But you can be honestly trying to do right and do very wrong. What did the Apostle Paul say about himself? He had been zealous, but without knowledge. Right back before he was saved, when he was out persecuting the new believers. He thought he was doing God a service, when he was just dead wrong. So, the bad doctrine that's coming through Galatia after Paul had left is, faith is not enough. You've got to help God save you by becoming a Jew. This harkens back to Abraham had how many sons at the beginning? To Ishmael and Isaac. Isaac was the son of promise, the one who was delivered through faith. Ishmael was delivered how? Sarah gave her handmaid Hagar to Abraham and said, hey, you know, it's been 25 years. God hasn't delivered on his promise. He needs our help. Here, have a child by Hagar, and that will be the son of the promise. And the answer was no. God does not need our help. We're saved by how? By faith, not by works, lest any man should boast. So after Galatians, the issue is still not settled. And we have Acts chapter 15, where they actually have to go down to the Jerusalem council and say, can God save Gentiles, or do they have to become Jews first? And the answer was? God can save anybody he wants to. And then they said, oh, wait a minute. Oh, we forgot. Abraham wasn't a Jew, was he? Abraham was saved by faith. God was able to save a Gentile. Duh, we should have known that. But sometimes it takes some of those dumb moments. But we're here in Galatians chapter 3 for a reason. In verse 28, Galatians 3:28, the Apostle Paul, Rav Shaul in Hebrew, says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. Is that a true statement? No, not as far as that goes. He says there's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female. Are there males or females? Sure. What he's saying is there is no different way of salvation for Jews and Gentiles, like there is no difference in the way of salvation for slaves and free or men and women. He says, for you are all one in Messiah Yeshua. In other words, there's one way of salvation for all people. Regardless of your background, regardless of your status, one way. He says, and if you are Messiah's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So it's not whether we were born Jewish or not. That doesn't matter to God. What matters to God is, have we the faith of Abraham? And if we come back to the book of John, Messiah is going to get into that himself. How they believe they're saved just like Abraham, and he's saying, oh no, you've misunderstood. So let's go back to John chapter 8. Verse 37, I know that you're Abraham's descendants, that is your physical descendants, but you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. Lest we forget, are they really trying to kill him? The answer is yes, they really are. Why? Because he healed the man on the Sabbath day. Did that violate God's commandment? The answer is no. What did it violate then? Their man-made rules and regulations. Verse 38, I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. Ooh, who's he implying their father is?
Satan.
Satan. Why is he suggesting their father is Satan? Because they want to
kill him?
They want to follow something other than God. And anything other than God comes from Satan, eventually. The answer and said to him, Abraham is our father. They're going to drop this argument in a few minutes, but right now they're saying Abraham's our father. Does that mean they're really, really, really old? Or does in Hebrew the word Av mean father or ancestor? And that's right. So they're saying Abraham is our ancestor. We descend from him. Yeshua said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Now, here's where I have to depart from my commentaries a little bit. The Christian commentary said the work of Abraham was believing in God. And he believed in God, and God accounted it to him for righteousness. But that wasn't the works of Abraham. The commentaries have kind of missed the boat. Abraham did believe in God, and God accounted that to him for righteousness, but when it came time for God to call upon Abraham and take your son, your only son, to Mount Moriah, what if Abraham had said, ain't no way, not going, you can't make me? What would that have meant? A lack of
faith.
So when Abraham takes Isaac, it's not to create faith, but it's because he has faith. And that's the point Messiah and John here try to get at is, works don't lead you to salvation. Salvation's by faith, and the works follow because we believe. If Abraham had said, I'm not taking my son to Mount Moriah, it would have meant what? Either that he didn't believe there was a God, but he did because he spoke to God. God sat and ate with him, right? So he knew God, so that wasn't it. What does the book of Hebrews tell us? Hebrews chapter 11. That Abraham took Isaac up there knowing that if he sacrificed Isaac, God would raise him from the dead. He believed God because God said, through Isaac, your descendants will be called. And Isaac had no children. So he believed that God would do that which God promised to do, and he acted on it. Okay, back to John. I'm getting redundant here. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. In other words, you would be obedient to God out of faith. Oh, what was it Messiah said in the book of Luke? Let's go back to Luke for a minute. Sometimes he had a lot of tears in his eyes, I'm sure, as he spoke to his disciples. In the book of Luke, chapter 6, after speaking about, start in verse 43 for context. Let me give you a chance to find it. Luke chapter 6, verse 43. It says, for a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. That implies, what kind of tree bears bad fruit? A bad tree. For every tree is known by its own fruit. Da, 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 da. Then down to verse 46. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Well, that's all the time we have for this week, folks. We'll come back to the book of John next week, Lord willing, if we're still here. But I do believe with all my heart that the Lord is coming soon. So I'd encourage you, if you've never been saved, if you've not given your life to God, I would encourage you to do it now. Salvation is by faith, not by works, lest any man should boast. If you don't know how to do that, then please give me a call or visit my website at www.john1415.org. May God bless you.